So we're turning our attention to small groups and the that way of expressing our discipleship. So Andrew and Sally, wave. That's Sally. This is Andrew. They are our leaders in charge of the small groups, and they're about to relaunch a new way of looking at that. And I've asked Andrew to speak about that today. And they have four kids, so they've got their own small group at home. But they've also led lots of other small groups really well. They're wonderful leaders. Sally works for the church part-time. Andrew has a really interesting ministry, and it's a real ministry. He makes sure, he's one of the team that makes sure that all the rubbish in Leeds gets disposed of right and recycled. He works for the council. And I'm serious, that is a ministry, because imagine what it'd be like without that. Yeah? So he's doing a great thing, and we need to pray for those guys as they do that really well. Let me pray for you. Well, I thank you for Andrew and for what he's going to share with us today. And I just pray that you will, your Holy Spirit will fill him, that you release your gift of communication and preaching to him, and that he'll know your peace as he speaks and shares. Would you bless this word to us and give us ears to hear what you're saying to us? Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. So, good morning, everyone. So, as David said, we're carrying on with our theme of the disciple series this morning. And as David says, the plan is to introduce you to and to launch our new small groups today. And hopefully you've all had a copy of the brochure and the sign-up cards that were being given out on the way. And if you just perhaps stick your hand up if you haven't got one, and we can get one to you. If you've been hanging out with us for any length of time here at Leeds Vineyard, you'll have heard us emphasising the importance of getting involved in small groups. Historically, these have been groups that we meet in weekly during the week. They've generally been held in the evenings, meeting in someone's home, and they've provided an opportunity to hang out together, to get to know each other a bit better, and to sort of learn and practice together in different ways what it means to follow Jesus. But we've made some important changes to how groups are going to work from this term, and we've got lots and lots of new groups to introduce you to today. So Sally and I, as David said, we have a responsibility for overseeing small groups in the Vineyard, and we're really excited about today and this term and the opportunity that this represents for people to get connected and to grow as followers of Jesus. But before I talk specifically about the groups themselves, I wanted to spend a bit of time talking about why I believe that committing to a community in this way and getting involved in small groups is a really vital part of following Jesus. I was looking recently at this book, which some of you may be familiar with, called The Reason for God by a guy called Tim Keller. I've read it a couple of times now. Tim Keller, I think, leads a big church in New York, and he's written a number of books, but I found this one in particular really helpful. The first half of the book deals really effectively with some of the common objections to the Christian faith. But in the second half, he goes on to give his summary of what being a Christian is all about and what it involves. He says that becoming a follower of Jesus involves two things and a third thing. The two things, he says, are repentance and faith, which I don't intend to expand on now. But when he's asked why he doesn't just simply say three things, he says it's because the third thing is the way that you do the first two. And this third thing is committing to being part of a community of fellow believers. He says this. Being a Christian always has an individual and a corporate aspect. People in Western cultures underestimate the degree to which we are shaped not just by our personal choices, but by our families, communities, and cultures. A person can be assured of belonging to Christ the very moment he or she makes that personal heart transaction with God. Nevertheless, everything in the New Testament indicates that Christians should confirm and seal that commitment through public communal action in baptism and becoming part of a church. Hearts are unruly things, and to be sure that we have put our heart trust in Jesus rather than in other things, we need to follow through and join a body of believers. So Tim Keller acknowledges then that some of us may have had some negative experiences of church, and that this prospect may come with baggage for some people. But he then goes on to say this: there is no alternative. You simply can't live the Christian life without a band of Christian friends, without a family of believers in which you can find a place. So committing to getting into community into community with others who are on the same journey is all important. But why specifically small groups? David talked to us last week about the importance of our gathering together, and specifically on Sunday mornings like this, like we are now, and how the way that we approach this is a good indicator of where we're at in our discipleship, in our attitude to following Jesus. So if you missed that last Sunday, do check out the podcast on the website. But there are obviously limitations on Sunday mornings in terms of what we can do together when we've got large numbers of people gathered like this. Limitations due to the constraints of the building here, dare I say, even the pews. Time restrictions, responsibilities for children. There are ways in which our Sunday gatherings can only go so far, and in some respects they can only provide a gateway to something more, something deeper. So becoming part of a family of believers means going beyond just what we're able to do here on Sundays, as essential a part as this is of what we do together. And small groups provide opportunities to share our lives together that just aren't practically possible in this setting. Now, you know, many of us who have been involved previously in house groups and other small groups may love them. They may be the highlight of your week, and if that's the case for you, then that's just fantastic. That's what we'd wish for everyone. But I suspect that for many of us, we probably have to work at it a bit. We may not always feel like it. And so I just wanted to spend a bit of time now looking at some of the possible reasons, five reasons in fact, why we might have barriers to overcome in this area, but also to then say why I believe that getting together in small groups is so important. Okay, so number one, I'm too busy. Many of us will relate to this, no doubt. It feels like one of the great sort of curses of our time. C.G. Jung, the famous psychiatrist and psychotherapist, said, "Hurry is not of the devil, it is the devil." It's not necessarily bad in itself to be busy, but excessive busyness can keep us from connecting with and engaging with the important matters in life, from investing in those areas which, if we sat back and thought about it, we would say are our greatest priorities. In our busyness, we can have the impression of progress because of our high levels of activity, but we may not be moving forwards or in a good direction. So what are our priorities in life? Do we accept the importance of committing to being involved in a community of followers of Jesus? Now, of course, I acknowledge there'll be genuine practical difficulties for some of us with our working patterns or other important commitments, getting babysitters and so on. But it is good to ask ourselves how much of a priority we're making of putting ourselves in the way of this transformation that God offers us. Okay, number two. I'm fine on my own, thanks. I think some of us just don't feel the need at all to be part of a group, to be in community. We think, God and I are good. I'm fine doing it on my own. Why do I have to come along and be with a bunch of other people? I relate to this. I'm pretty much of an introvert, and that means that for me, I recharge my batteries by being on my own or perhaps just being with one or two close friends or with Sally, provided she's not in too chatty a mood. This, and this is you know, especially after a busy day, at work, and then coming home to an equally busy home and family life, a remote cave somewhere would be more in order sometimes. In fact, a group of us had a night away and a couple of days at Ample for Fabby a few months ago, where there's a community of monks, and I was voted from amongst the group as the most likely to put myself forward for the monastic life. That was until I found out from Father Terence, who came to talk to us, that once you sign up, I think, you know, technically all your possessions are held in common, and that technically even your underpants don't belong to you, and that I might therefore just get allocated a pair from the shared pool. So that was a bit of a bridge too far for me. So I'm not saying that we all need to become extroverts who love and thrive in the social setting. You know, we're wired in different ways, and we need to engage with small groups in a way that is true to who we are, that's authentic for us. But I know that personally, when I isolate myself too much, I don't tend to fare too well. I can't be relied upon to hold straight to the course that God has for my life on my own. I'm just one person with one perspective on life, and, you know, it's a pretty faulty one in many respects. I need the influence and input of others who are on the same journey as me. I had my 360-degree appraisal and feedback at work recently. For those of you who haven't had the pleasure of this experience, this is where not just your boss, but your staff and your peers as well are all invited to fill in a questionnaire about where your strengths and weaknesses lie, and then it's all sort of pulled together into a report that you get at the end of the process. So generally, hopefully, there's obviously some positive stuff in there too, but it also sets out some of the reasons why I'm difficult to work with and areas in which I need to develop. So I got my report and I brought it home and I shared my results with Sally, hoping for some encouragement and affirmation. Now, it's important to point out first, before I put my foot in it, that Sally is a very great encourager and encouragement to me. But I have to say that on this one occasion, her immediate reaction was just a kind of therapeutic effect that all this stuff that she has to put up with from me on a daily basis had been sort of confirmed by others in a formal record. It's a sort of kind of feeling of solidarity with my colleagues in their suffering. So, but, you know, as uncomfortable as it is to hear this stuff about myself, I do welcome it. I don't want to be oblivious to areas in which I can improve or need to develop my character, or ways in which I damage relationships through the way that I behave rather than building them. And connecting with people through small groups provides a chance to have people who are interested in you and want the best for you inputting into your life. And more than this, it's a chance to draw near to Jesus, to allow him into your life, whether through getting into the Bible and worshipping together, through allowing others to pray for you or speak truth and wisdom into your life on a regular basis, or simply through building relationships and allowing others to be a part of your life. It's a place where we can be trained and equipped to do the stuff of following Jesus, and a place where we can receive encouragement to keep going when the going gets tough. Okay, number three. Some of us might say, there are just none that I really like the look of, you know, from the groups that we have available. Now, of course, you need to find a group that's a good fit for you. Although there won't be something perfect for everyone, our hope is that with the greater range of groups that we've now got available, there'll be something for pretty much everyone, something that everyone can get involved with. But should we also be asking ourselves what we can bring to the group? Maybe your different perspective on life might be the very thing that a group needs. There might be others who really identify with you, and for whom having you involved in the group would therefore be a really positive thing. Or should we be thinking in terms of, how can I serve and support the leaders? Our leaders are really putting themselves out there in volunteering to lead these groups. They're sacrificing their time, the giving of themselves? Can we go along with the intention of supporting them? And also blessing and supporting the other members of the group. Learning to love each other and to serve each other is what we're called to. Jesus himself modeled this attitude for us when he washed the disciples' feet. Small groups are a key training ground for this, I would say, where we learn to give and receive love from one another in whatever shape or form that might come. And learning to love each other often comes through those small, even ordinary, mundane things, just through hanging out together, having fun, doing life together, through conversations, through small kindnesses. And I'd argue that the most authentic love is developed when we learn to love and bless those who are different to ourselves, as challenging as that can be, and not just those who are necessarily already pleasing to us or with whom we click naturally. Learning to understand and accept them, to let them into your life and to be a part of theirs. And this isn't just for their benefit. In 1 Corinthians, which is one of the books of the New Testament part of the Bible, chapter 12, the Apostle Paul describes the community of believers as being like a single organism, a single human body, he calls it the body of Christ, with each part having a unique and essential role and contribution to offer to the whole, and with each part dependent on the others, on the other parts, to fulfill their role and function. Do we really believe this about others? Because I think that when we push through and really grasp this, when we learn to truly see others more as God does, then something really fundamental changes on the inside. And we might be surprised then at the significance of the connections that we end up making with people where we least expected to find them. Okay. Number 4. For some of us, the small group setting makes us feel uncomfortable. Some of us may genuinely feel really vulnerable coming into this setting. For some of us, it takes courage, especially if we feel like we don't know anyone and everyone else knows each other. Now, hopefully this new start and refresh of the groups for this term will help to break down some of these barriers. But people may have had bad experience in the past when they've taken a risk to get involved in a group. Perhaps you're afraid that if you let others too much into your life, the stuff that you've got going on will be too much for them. They won't be able to handle it, they won't understand, and you'll end up feeling rejected. Now, I'm sorry if you've had experiences like this in the past. Or perhaps you haven't found the friendships that you were expecting or hoping for. Now, obviously, it's not possible to promise that deep and significant friendships will develop if you come along to a small group, as much as that would be wonderful if it were to happen, if it does happen. It's not something that can be manufactured, but we'd certainly expect some level of friendship to develop as you meet together regularly with others and get to know each other. And do we also need to reflect on whether we're doing our part in developing these relationships? I remember Matt, another one of our leaders here, talking to us back in July on Proverbs and on friendship. I remember him saying that there was a time for him when he sort of resolved to stop complaining about a lack of friendships unless he was giving 100% to his side of things, to his part of the bargain in the friendship. And I think he said that he never got to the point of complaining again. So it's good to ask ourselves that question. Now, in all of this, of course, I acknowledge there's a real challenge here to all of us, especially those of us who already feel that they're a part of this family, to get alongside people for whom this might be more difficult, to ask them what they're planning to do, to invite them to come along with you to a group, and try and make this as easy as possible for them. But whatever might cause you to feel vulnerable about this, I'd urge you not to hold back from getting involved, even if this is hard for you, even if it involves some level of risk, because you'll be keeping yourself from the goodness, the blessing, and the growth that can come into your life through connecting with others. For some of us, we may not want people to get below the surface with us. If we're naturally quite private, then this may feel uncomfortable. or maybe we, for some of us, we may not want to get out of our comfort zone. We think others may challenge us and in areas of our lives that, frankly, we want them to stay out of. How I spend my money, how I spend my time, my sex life, my prayer life, or lack of, introducing accountability into our lives. For some of us, we may be acutely aware of the darkness inside us, or have stuff going on that we're ashamed to let others see because we fear being judged or feel wretched about ourselves. We can assume that everyone else is sorted except for us. Well, again, I'd encourage you to take a risk. We may not always get it right, but we're a people who know we're not perfect. And we're in the business of seeking healing, forgiveness, acceptance, and fresh starts for both ourselves and for others. So, it's important to be clear that I'm trying to cover a range of scenarios here, a range of issues. And small groups are not all about pressing people to be constantly bearing their souls, and that we won't let you have a go with the lathe in the Mancraft group or do a lap around a park in Vineyard Runners until you've done this. I'm just talking primarily about the stuff that happens naturally as relationships develop and as we share our lives together. And again, we've got a range of groups, so hopefully you can choose something that fits with where you're at. But I'd encourage you not to hide, not to hold back, but to step towards Jesus and relationship with others. This is where a significant part of your growth or healing or restoration lies. Having a group of people who know you, who you can be real with, who are inputting into your life in a godly way, that's a precious and essential thing. And also, when I let others into my struggles or the questions or doubts that I might be wrestling with, or share with them the things that I love and am passionate about, it helps them as well as me. They need me to be open and honest. It gives them permission to do the same. God uses us to reach others when we open up our lives in this way. Okay, last one. I've heard some people say that small groups are too inward focused and introspective, and that following Jesus should be about being outward focused, should be focused on those outside our circle. Now, this might just be because some of us need a group that has more of a practical focus, and hopefully the greater diversity of groups that we now have will provide more of this. We've had groups in the past doing decorating projects, gardening projects for neighbours who aren't able to manage this for themselves. Groups that have made meals for families who've just had new babies. Maybe you could be the one who brings this aspect to a group and be a part of organising this. This would be just fantastic, and you won't encounter any resistance to this. Of course, I wouldn't argue for a minute with the importance of us being outward focused in all that we do, and we're going to be looking at that next week specifically. But that doesn't mean that our connections with each other are somehow secondary and less important in God's eyes. I'd argue that our passion for those outside simply needs to increase, not that our passion for and focus on those who already call themselves part of this community needs to diminish. We're a family. Inviting people to be part of a family is a key part of what we're about here. In our outward focus, what are we inviting people to be a part of if we haven't learned to do this well amongst ourselves? There'll be no substance behind what was offered at the initial invitation. And how will we love those outside this community if we haven't learned to love well amongst ourselves first? Jesus said that people would know us as his followers by the love that we have for one another. And when we get this right, when we learn to love each other well, it's such a powerful witness of God's love to the world around. And if that isn't a convincing enough case for small groups, it's how Jesus did it. Jesus made his disciples in a small group of 12 others, sharing life, eating together, supporting each other, learning, being equipped, reaching out to others together. Okay, so on to the groups themselves. We've got a total of 20 fabulous small groups altogether, starting from this term, which, as I've said, we hope will provide pretty much everyone with an opportunity to get involved. As you can see from the brochure, which hopefully you've all got, we've put the groups into three categories. Firstly, we've got the activity groups, which provide an opportunity to have fun, hang out together, and build relationships doing an activity that's of common interest or that you might like to try out for the first time. Then we've got the explore groups, which are broadly all courses that will enable you to learn something new, perhaps a new life skill. And then we've got the growth groups, some of which are very much like our previous house groups. These groups will be more focused around getting together regularly, again, to build relationships and to go deeper in our faith, whether that's through looking at the Bible, worshipping together, praying, reaching out to our neighbours or local communities, or a balance of all of these things. So anyone is welcome to come to any of the groups, and if you just want to come along and hang out, learn something new and have some fun, this is great. You're very welcome. So just on to some more practical matters now. Another important change is that the groups will run termly with these new ones starting from next week, so the week commencing the 21st of September and then running up to Christmas. And we'll all be signing up each term. And again, you should have received one of these sign-up cards on your way in. Some of the groups may be a one-off, some may repeat in future terms, whereas some in particular, some of the growth groups we're expecting will run for a longer period of time, say at least 12 months. Sign-up runs from this Sunday, so from now to next Sunday. We'll be giving people another reminder next week to sign up to groups. And there are three ways to do this, which you'll be able to see up on the screen. Here and now, this morning, by filling in one of the cards, you can post your card in the post box, which Sally's going to hold up for you. And I think Elaine will be holding that at the back. Is Elaine around? So we're going to pass it over, pass it across to Elaine. So Elaine will be... nice hands, good. Online via the website, it's another way of signing up, and you can see the link up on the screen. Or by phoning the office and speaking to the lovely Sue. Give us a wave, Sue. So all the information is in the brochure or on the sign-up cards. You're free to sign up to more than one group if you want to do that, but we just encourage you to commit to them both, not just sort of dip in and out of a number, just for all the reasons that I've talked about earlier. All the groups are open to everyone, but some groups will have a limitation on numbers purely because of physical capacity, so get in there quickly to avoid missing out. Once you've signed up, the group leader will be in touch to confirm your place and give you further details. You might be thinking about what happens if people miss the sign-up window or if people join us partway through the term. Well, you know, we've got this framework in place, but of course we also want to be flexible, so please just find Sally, chat to her if you find yourself in this position or you know someone who is in that position, and we'll talk about options and work it out. Once you have signed up, of course we'd encourage you to commit to the group, but the process of sign-up doesn't mean that you've sort of signed some sort of contract. If the group's genuinely not working out for you, then chat to the leaders or have a word with Sally and we can help you to consider options. Okay, any more questions, you can just come and grab me or Sally afterwards. Okay, so how are we for time? Is it time to get the kids? We've got 5 minutes, have we? So we just want to use the remaining time that we've got now before we have to collect the children, just to give you the opportunity to have a look at the brochure again, fill in your sign-up cards, but in particular to chat to the new small group leaders and ask questions. So just to conclude, before we do that, I just wanted to reiterate that we would absolutely love to see every one of you here today signing up to joining a group, somewhere which is a place where you can belong, a place to grow, where you can have fun and allow God to work in your life. Of course, the groups aren't going to be perfect. They're made up of, you know, people like you and me, aren't they? So we're expecting them to evolve and for further new groups to be starting up each term. And if you have an idea for a new group that you're interested in leading, then come and have a chat to us, to myself or Sally. But we think that the 20 groups that we have now and the leaders that we have are just fantastic. So we'd really encourage you to get involved. So lastly, back to Ampleforth Abbey and Father Terence. Oh, no, not that one. But seriously, those weren't mine, by the way. But seriously, the one thing that Father Terence said to us when he came to speak to us that really stuck with me is that ultimately, when you boil it down, discipleship is about whether we're saying yes to Jesus. So in choosing a group, don't necessarily just take the easiest option. Ask God what he's calling you to right now. What's he wanting to do in your life and through you? So I'd encourage you to choose based on your desire to grow in your relationship with Jesus and with others. Choose based on saying yes to him. Okay, so we've reached the end of the formal part this morning. We've got a couple of minutes before we need to collect the kids. So do have a look at the brochure again. Fill in cards if you're ready to. Although there'll be another opportunity next week to put them in the postbox. But the leaders for nearly all, if not all, of the new small groups are here amongst you today or are in Vineyard Kids, and they'll be coming back through here later. Okay, so I know the pews don't make it easy, but I encourage you to get up and move around, go and chat to the small group leaders, or some of them will come to you. If you don't know who they are, just come and speak to me or to Sally, and we'll point you in the right direction. Yeah, okay, we could get... Let me get the brochure. So, have we got Helen and community choir group? We've got Helen and Mike. Helen and Mike? Okay, so we've got the book club, Jen. I don't think Helen's here, is she, this morning? Okay. Vineyard Runners, which is Sally and Helen again. Coffee Club, Bob and Kay, over here. Mancraft, Ollie, is Simon here? No Hannah, no Simon. Ollie, Belly Buttons, Judy. Ah. Okay, on to the Explore groups. John and Helen for Alpha. We've got a John. Daniel Plan, we've got Elaine, Sue and Michelle, all three. Fantastic. Discovering Vineyard, David and Alison, the parenting course. I know Richard and Sally are in Vineyard Kids, but one of them at least will be through. If you want to speak to them, then come and get me to point them out to you if you don't know them. Servant Leadership School, again, Matt and Ann, similarly, in Jumping Beans, looking after the kids. Growth Groups, Ben and Ed. We've got Ed here, haven't we, this morning, for doing the stuff. Global Reach Out, are there any Salmons? Pete and Naomi and Charlotte. Ian and Hannah for their small group at the back here. Julian and Liz. Oh, nice, good turnout. Max and Molly, soup at seven. There they are. So the Contemplative Prayer Group, that's me and Beryl. Beryl's here. Prophecy and Prayer, Jerry and Pauline. Gareth and Chris, I've seen you somewhere. There's Gareth, and there's Chris. And Alex and Lucy, their group. Okay, so ask your questions, get chatting to people. Okay, let's do that now, and I'll give you the word when it's time to collect your kids. Okay. Yes, so Dave, am I still on? Sorry, David's reminding me. If you're here this morning, I know we've been focusing on small groups, but if you've got stuff going on in your life where you need God's touch on your life, or if there's something that I've been talking about this morning that stirred something up for you, this whole issue of small groups might be a real challenging one for you, then please don't go away without getting prayed for. Well, I've leaders up at the front who can pray for you or find someone to pray with you. We won't preach at you or give you advice. We'll just ask God to come and speak to you and bless you. So don't miss out on doing that and come up to the front and we'll pray for you. All right, go.